The reading from Corinthians today comes from chapter 10, as we've heard already, and starting from verse 15 and going through to chapter 11, verse 1. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I'm referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ.
You just never know if it's going to work or not. It's always a worry. Well, friends, I'm grateful to be here. It's great that we have such a nice day outside that the Lord has blessed us with. And it's great that I can see all your faces here at Sunday Church. And so if you've been with us for the last few weeks of this term, you'll know that we've been going through our series of Loving BAC. We've been looking with Paul through the letter of 1 Corinthians and thinking about the idea of love, how we remember Christ's love, and how we share in that love with each other. And friends, as we finish our series today, we're going to do just that. We're going to continue to look at how we remember the love that is Christ, and how we share and partake in that love together. But before we do that, I want to ask a quick question. Is anyone here a big movie fan? Like, does anyone love watching movies? Three of us. All right, well, I'm going to speak for the three of us. All right? I love movies, but I don't see all these movies. But you're on Facebook, yeah, Stefan, right? You're old, you're on Facebook, you have Facebook, right? Yeah, there you go. So, like, I don't know about you, but did anyone ever see that thing that kind of happened where people, like, try to say a movie in a sentence that was a really bad explanation? Like a bad movie plot line? Yeah, see, Stefan's on Facebook, he knows. Well, we're going to try this, all right? I'm going to give you one sentence. of a bad movie explanation, and I do have a prize that's over there for whoever can shout out the answer of what movie or movie series this is. So this is the sentence. Bearded man and friends travel across New Zealand looking for the one.
Lord of the Rings.
Who said it first? I didn't hear. You're all quiet. Yeah, there you go. Whoever did. Well, I'm just going to throw it in that direction because it looks like it was over there. But it was a fresh rock, so well done, Jono. I believe that was you. Yeah, Lord of the Rings. That's the explanation. It's a terrible explanation, and before you get at me, I've never watched it. So, and how is that the biggest oof we've had today? It's not that good, guys. But all right, I'll give it a watch. No, I haven't watched it. I don't really intend to watch it, but I do know a bit about it because it's so popular for some reason. I know that it's all about this one ring that, as it's quoted there, one ring to rule them all. It's the ring of all rings. It has the power to put everything under its rule and control. This ring is described as evil, as dangerously powerful. It has the ability to increase lifespans of those who hold it, but it comes at a cost. It was the one thing that was desired by the people in the series, and the thing that would bring all together, but not by good, but rather by force and by power. This ring doesn't bring people together for the sake of good or love, but for the sake of the greedy needs and desires of the one who controls it. And you might be asking yourself, why are we talking about this one ring? Well, I want to create a bit of a contrast here, because we're going to be looking at this one love today. This one ring brings people under it by force, by evil, not by good. But the one love we see today that we are going to partake in today, we share that is good. We share in its love. We are brought together under it by the covenant that Christ has made with us that is good for us. So I want us to think as we go through today, this one ring is not good. And it's not even real, but there's a real covenant with Christ that we're going to see today. This one meal that shares in one love is good. And through doing this, through looking at this one meal that is the Lord's Supper, we're going to see this big idea that's on the screen. It's a bit wordy, but we're going to break it down. It's the big idea today, guys, is that the Lord's Supper reminds us of the one love we share in and through Christ Jesus, reminding us also of his love displayed for us through the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood. And today, friend, our goal is to let that love be the object of our focus, rather than the other things we sometimes make the one focus of our lives. And so we're going to break this big idea down by looking at some sub-points. And here's our first sub-point for today. The first point today is that the Lord's Supper is a reminder for us of Jesus Christ as Lord. You see, friends, Paul in verse 16 reminds us that the Lord's Supper is not just a meal. It's not just a meal we have participation in for no reason. It's not just you wake up and you have breakfast and you kind of cook your eggs, kind of sad before you've had your coffee, and you just eat it and you go, oh, that was good, and you move on. No, there's a reason for why we partake in the Lord's Supper together. There is a reason behind the meal. See, friends, we join in remembering the body of Christ, which has been broken for us. We remember and join in remembering the blood of Christ, which was shed for us. Paul writes for us that the Lord's Supper is a reminder for us of the life sacrificed, the work paid, the blood spilt. Paul says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share in the one loaf." Brothers and sisters, Paul is stating that when we partake in the Lord's Supper, we all are partaking in the one meal that remembers the body and blood of Christ. We are all partaking together in the remembrance of who is truly Lord over us, who has bought and redeemed us, who has brought us together, who are his body of believers. He brings us together to praise and to glorify him as our Lord. And the Lord's Supper is reminding us of just that. When we share in the Lord's Supper, we share in the reminder that Jesus Christ is our Lord, who suffered and died for us, who broke his body, shed his blood, so that we may join together as the body of believers. We share in this so that we may be reminded of Christ Jesus as Lord, and let that be our focus. See, friends, we must make every effort to remind ourselves of the foundational Christian truth that Christ is our Lord. It is the foundation for all our other points today. And our big idea of our one love that we partake in sharing is built upon the fact that Christ Jesus is our Lord, who has shown us that love through his body and his blood. So friends, as we head back to our big idea for a second, we see that we need to remember Christ as Lord, and the Lord's Supper helps us to do so. Its foundation is built on Jesus saying, I will shed my blood for you. I will break my body for you, and I will rise again because I am your Lord. And friends, we remind ourselves of that through our participation in the Lord's Supper that Jesus has given to us. So that's point one. Point one of today for our idea of the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ is our Lord. That's the foundation that we remember when we partake in the Lord's Supper together. But I want to move on to point two, because I think point two is also pretty important to know. See, point two is engaging in the Lord's Supper means participating in the covenant that is the love of Christ's sacrifice. And we participate in the Lord's Supper not just as individuals, but rather as one body in love. See, friends, engaging and participating in this, I want you to think about it. I want you to think about this particularly. If we are participants in a sacrifice, then we are participants together in the act of worship with those who partake the sacrifice with us. I'm going to break this down a bit. Paul actually breaks it down in probably a better way. You know, he talks about Jewish worship. See? He says, consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? He's saying, if you participate in the sacrifice here, then you are participating in what comes with it. To eat sacrificial food in a context of worship was and is to participate in the sacrifice, to partake in the act of worship that was with it. And so, friends, if that is true, which it is, then in Christian worship, at the Lord's table, with the Lord's Supper, we partake in the sacrifice that Christ displays. We partake in the bread and wine, which is the blood and body. We engage with what comes with partaking in this meal together. And thus we participate together as one body in the covenant that Christ has laid upon those who eat and drink the Lord's Supper. See, friends, Christ says in Matthew 25, which will be on the screen in a second, he says that this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Take this in remembrance of me. See, this, he's speaking about, this is the Lord's Supper that he partakes in, the shedding of wine and bread with his disciples. He says, take this in remembrance of me together, because this is a new covenant that I'm making with you. And so, friends, when we partake in this meal, we do the same. We remember Christ. We partake in the new covenant that is found in Christ's blood. We do so remembering the greatest love that Christ has laid on us, not just individually, but collectively. For Christ has laid his life down not just for me, the individual, but for all of us, for the body of believers. And so we share in this meal together as one body brought together through the love that is that sacrifice. Through the love that is found in the remembrance of Christ Jesus' broken body and shed blood. And this is where I want to talk a little bit about attitude for a second. Because I think it's an important side topic to the idea of the Lord's Supper. You see, the attitude that we bring when we think about this is important. The attitudes we bring when we partake in remembrance and fixation on this laid out love is crucial. And so the question is this: what is my attitude and what is your attitude showing as you take the Lord's Supper with people? As you share in a meal that is remembering love and sharing love? You know, what is my attitude? Am I reflecting the love in my attitude that Christ has shown to me? Am I reflecting the love that Christ has laid out in this covenant upon his body to the other members of his body of believers? Or am I partaking in this with anger in my heart? Am I partaking in this with a grudge against a brother or a sister? Am I sitting next to someone who I just can't be with? You know, the anger in my heart is too deep, but I'll partake in this Lord's Supper that is meant to be a reflection of the love that we share in together. Well, you may ask yourself, why does that attitude matter? What does that have to do with the Lord's Supper? Why does what my heart feels for my brother matter? After all, if we read on in 1 Corinthians, Paul kind of writes a message about the rights we have, right? He said, I have the right to do anything. You know, why does it matter if my brother here and I don't get along, or if we've, you know, got anger towards each other? You know, I can still take the Lord's Supper. I have that right. Well, actually, Paul says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is constructive. Not everything is good. And actually, it's not about what's good for you. It's about what's good for the others. And, you know, it's not about seeking your own good. Maybe the Lord's Supper is good and you want it. But if your attitude, if your heart is anger towards your brother, then this is not good for anyone. Do not partake in the Lord's Supper like that. See, friends, this is about the good of all of us, not just individual, but collective. This is about doing what may not be easy, but what is beneficial. It may challenge our freedom to do what we may want to do, but it is crucial to come to the Lord's Supper with the right attitude, with not anger towards a brother or sister in your heart. And friends, again, the scriptures are clear on this. You know, we should not and must not partake in any offering with a mindset that is of anger towards another, or even from anger from another. If you know someone's angry, if you go and sort that out in love. See, Matthew 5 says to us, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, and then come and give your gift. Friends, this is saying to us, don't be foolish. Do not expect to participate in remembering Christ's love that is poured out on us while we sit here refusing to show that very love to our brothers and sisters. God is calling us to share in remembrance of his love poured out on us, yes, but to also do so as we share and display that love together as one body, showing love to each other, having our heart love to share in this with each other. And so I ask us again, how is our attitude right now? As we know that we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper a bit later to have communion together, how is our heart right now? Are we angry with each other? Do we share in the Lord's Supper together with our hearts not loving one another as Christ has displayed to us? Friends, if that is you, there is still time. Time to give over those feelings, let go of that emotion and be reconciled. To partake of this gift together as the one body we are called to be. And so, friends, I remind us again that engaging in the Lord's Supper means participating in the covenant that is the love of Christ's sacrifice and sharing that love together. And we'll have a time before we take the Lord's Supper to pray over that, to pray for that, for our hearts to be reconciled, for our attitude to be brought into alignment with that love that we seek to share. Losing my voice at all. Well, friends, as we wrap up this part, I want to talk about one more thing that Paul speaks on in Corinth. See, friends, he calls them to exercise their love for one another above their individual freedom. And this comes back to what we were just talking about, to put the love for others above individual freedom, to display their love through servant-hearted selfishness. Selflessness, not selfishness. The other one. Important clarification there. And this is because Paul knows that we all belong to the one body. And I've touched on this a lot. It might feel repetitive to a sense, but it's important that we really build this. Paul is reminding us and knows that we are belonging to one body, and neither we nor Paul want to cause others to stumble. So instead of calling someone to stumble, he writes in verse 33 that we may save those on the day of the Lord. And friends, that is our goal here. To, in the love we remember and in the love we display through partaking the Lord's Supper, let us hold it as our focus and display it as Paul encourages the church then and the church of us now. Through selfless humility and selflessness, let us do so we may bring others to salvation and remembrance of Christ and his love as our Lord. That is why we share with an attitude of love towards another, to share that love that we are partaking in, so that people may see and be brought closer to Christ as Lord. I'll move on to our final point for today. Paul's call to choose a side. Paul's call that participating in the Lord's Supper means to not participate in the table of idols and demons and other false gods. Let our focus be on the one love we partake in, not the one idol that we get swept up in. Friends, I want us to move into thinking about an important point that Paul raises here. See, Paul, in verse 21, he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. You see, Paul is saying, if we are participating in the remembrance of Christ's love and sacrifice, if we are participating at God's table in the Lord's Supper, then we are sitting at the Lord's table. We have chosen our side. And if we indeed do so, we must not be foolish enough to think we can do both tables. We can't participate in the Lord's table while partaking in the tables of idols, of demons, of false gods, and false worship. See, Paul is clear. He does not want us to be blind to this fact. He does not want us to be participants to these foolish ideas. Paul makes a bold question to the church of Corinth when he makes this point. And that's one I think we can take as well. You see, Paul makes a bold question talking about these two tables, and he asks, are you trying to arouse God's jealousy? Are you trying to tip God's anger? Friends, this would be like a soccer team, which feels really poetic now that we had a soccer team before. This would be like a soccer team winning the game, and then their players go out and celebrate with the opposing team. It's foolish. You're sharing with the enemy if you think about sporting terms, right? Australia in the World Cup isn't going to go out and celebrate with Argentina. No, Argentina kicked their butt and they lost, they're gone. Don't be foolish. You can't be on both sides. You sit at the Lord's table, you partake in the Lord's Supper. That is a standalone fact that you reject sitting at the table of idols and false worship. Friends, all of this table talk, refusing the table of idols, it means for us to let our focus be on the one true love that sits at the Lord's table, at the Lord's Supper. Let it be the focus of our hearts and our minds, this love that we partake in through the covenant that is the Lord's Supper. Don't let our focus be split between the Lord's table and the things we idolize. Don't let our focus be split between worshiping the Lord and worshiping the things that are on our hearts. Friends, the things that we worship, and I'll say the ones that constantly get me. Social media, influences, sport. Don't let these things take the place of the Lord's table. Don't let these be the things that we look for love and share in. Some of these things are good. I love cricket as much as the next bloke, but it cannot be the thing I focus my whole body on. It is but a part of how I go about living for the Lord and sharing the one love that sits at the Lord's table, that I am reminded of and brought back to focus on when I share in the Lord's Supper. So here's how we conclude this. Here's how we finish up today. We have seen that the Lord's Supper is to be for us a reminder of Christ Jesus as Lord. It reminds us of this one meal that we partake in to remember the one love that has been shed through the breaking of blood and body. Let this one meal be a reminder that we are not individuals when we partake this, but we are one body, for we share in one loaf, as Paul says. And do not let us be silly. Do not let us try to sit at this table with anger towards a brother or sister. And do not let us be silly enough to think that we can sit here while we sit at the table of false worship, demons, and idols. We must pick a side. And I encourage you to pick the Lord's table. Reject idols. Reject false worship. Accept one love that we remember through the Lord's Supper. And so, friends, ultimately, we have been reminded of this, that the Lord's Supper is a reminder for us of the one ultimate, incomparable, and unbeatable love that we share in and through Christ Jesus. And it's a reminder for us of His love displayed for us and displayed by us to others who stand in the body of believers. And that this should be our focus. And so, friends, we are going to share in this one meal together in a moment. And as I said before, do not come to this with an angered heart or with a burden of a brother or sister resting on you uneasy. And I want to take a second to let us hand those feelings over to the Lord in prayer. To let us give that burden over to God. Bring our attitudes back into correctness. And so, be so kind. Or if this is how you feel, I invite you to come and pray this with me now. Lord and Heavenly Father, we take this time to remember Your great sacrifice for our sins. We remember Your broken body and Your shed blood, not for anything that You did wrong, but because You were paying the penalty for us. It is in this that You show Your love for us, that You call us to share with one another. And so before we take this bread and drink this cup, there's a remembrance of you, your sacrifice, and your love. We ask you, Lord, to take away those feelings that burden us, those feelings of anger or disrepute between us and our brothers and sisters. Help us to show the love to one another that you remind us of in your meal here. Help us to forgive and help us to be remorseful for the wrongs we have committed against each other. And put it on our hearts, Lord, now to go and speak to one another, to remind each other of the love that we share for one another as you've shared for us. Help us to be reminded of that as we partake in your meal right now, Lord. To be reminded of that one love that you have so graciously poured out on us, so that we may go and love others in the same way as you have loved us. Thank you. Amen.